remember our country, and our country doesn't really realize it, but we're at war. We're at war. And they don't seem to understand, and they don't know what they're fighting. They really do not have a clue what it is that they're fighting. And this is here a few weeks, I know the preacher was talking about that first murder, Cain and Abel. What was it? It was about religion. And that war has been going on ever since Adam and Eve fell out with God and disobeyed God. And that war is raging. And it's not going to get better. It's going to continually, as the Bible said, things will wax worse and worse. And this world is going to come apart. It's going to come apart. The God of this world, he couldn't hold it together. He does not have the power to hold it together. Satan had no power to hold this thing together. He has no power at all. Matter of fact, all power belongs to Christ Jesus. Everything that Satan is doing is by permission of God, and it's for our good and to God's glory. People are choosing what side they're going to be on. And we need to make sure that we're lined up on the right side. I heard a song this past week, and I took note of it because of what we've been trying to develop in my own life so I can look at the Word of God and let the Word of God speak truth to me. Let this mirror and be willing. Now, here's where the problem is. A lot of us have what we believe, but we don't always believe right. Our mind, the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. But in this song, this guy's basically asking himself a question. He says, am I still in my defiance while I'm trying so hard to obey? You know, the thing of it is, Brother Paul made a statement to me just a minute ago. How did you put that, Paul, about... I mean, we can't judge ourselves. Exactly. And that's the question. That's the question in life. Are we really hearing God, or are we really in our own conscience? We know that there was a time in history in Israel's life where every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, if you'd ask them, did they believe in Jehovah God? They said, oh, yes. If you'd asked them if he was right, they'd have said yes. It's just like when they come into the land of promise after they got there. You look over there and Joshua looks out and he tells the people, he said, you cannot live for God. He didn't say you won't live for God. He said, you cannot live for God. You cannot obey God. Now that wasn't coming out of Joshua. He was prophesying. God was speaking through Joshua to get them to understand that in their own power, in their own understanding, they couldn't live for God. And that's true today. If you think you can live the Christian life, you're crazy. You cannot. You cannot live like God. It's not in us. You've had people tell you that. You know, they don't mean that. They don't mean what they say, but what they're saying is they appreciate you. And they thank God for you, and they'll say you're a good guy, you're a good man, you're whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you only knew me. And then I said, well, wait a minute. I wonder if they know themselves. Do they really see that they are not good? Because the Bible says plainly that if we're the number who judge ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. What's important is what the Word of God said. I heard a preacher say years ago, it isn't all the things that you believe out of this book, it's as fact that we got a book that's inerrant that we can trust. And so I'm a fundamentalist. I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. He said, yes, over the Council of Nicaea, 15, whatever it was. No, it was 11 something, I'm sorry. That's the Catholic Church. They testified that they believed in these fundamentals, these five to five fundamentals that we say that we believe. It was their address in the Council of Nicaea there in 1100. But we look and see what the Catholic Church is like today, you know. And so it isn't so much, you know, what we believe about this book. And I've really appreciated over the years, I think about it, it comes to my mind all the time. I remember when Preacher Anthony first came and spoke, and he asked a question, why do we do what we do, and why do we believe what we believe? And we need to have that question in our minds at all times. We really do. I said, that day I heard that, I said, here's a man that's teachable. Not that I had anything to teach him, but here's a man that's teachable. And if a man's going to be a pastor, he's got to have a teachable spirit. Because he's got to be able to hear from God. And I got three son-in-laws that are preachers. And they all smarter than I am. They've all got better educations than I got. And they're sharper than I am. They really are. They're mine. You know what I mean? They're mine. They think. They're sharper than I am. But I warn them all the time, don't do and say what you say and what you believe based on your education that you've got from college. Because them were just men. I said, this book right here is able to correct every college professor you ever had. And this word is quick and powerful. Even though you don't understand it, years ago, and I know y'all all heard this illustration about the dirty basket. You go, and the old preacher sends the young preacher out there. He says, he said, I don't understand. I read this book. I don't remember it. He said, what should I do? He said, why don't you take that dirty basket and carry it down to the river? You've all heard that. And he does it about 8 or 10 times, and he comes back and said, what was the profit in that? And he said, well, it's just like that Bible. You might not see what it's doing, but it's washing. He said, that basket's a lot cleaner, isn't it? And the Word of God is always effectual. And that's the point that we really need to grasp, is let the Word of God be the Word of God. Let the Word of God do its job. It's not a tool for us to use. It's a tool for God to use in our lives. It's a tool that God wants to use to get us to submit ourselves to God so that we are usable. We have got to get to this point in our Christian lives. We all must, if we're going to be used of God, is to realize we can't do anything. We're powerless without Him. Why don't you turn to the book of Romans? I'm going to get into my lesson. I'm kind of like on a rabbit trail right now. We'll get there. The book of Romans, last chapter. I was studying through Romans, and I was preaching through Romans over here to over at the truck stop in the chapel over there, and I preached through the book of Romans, and I got down to 16. I said, well, this here is just, you know, God, He's entered in. And I was just going to throw it out. God, the Holy Spirit got all over me. I'm serious. I wasn't even going to finish it up. I was saying that. It's just, He's just introducing all these different people. And when I really got to looking at it, I said, you're an idiot. I go show you how we can just look over stuff. And I come down to something very important at the very end of the chapter. I think it's one of the most important statements made in this book. I'm going to begin reading 24. For the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to Him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and here it is, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. I don't think that's just talking about the things that Jesus said when He was walking on this earth to His 12 disciples. I think it is what He's preaching right now, today. My desire is when we leave here in a little bit and we go out in that auditorium, that I'm not going to hear what Preacher Anthony thinks about anything. I'm hoping I go out there and there we got a servant out there who's yielded to God. And we've all heard it said. We got to hear the big preacher preach tonight. I pray we go in there and we hear the preacher preach tonight, this morning. That's what I desire every time I come to church. I've heard the preachers over the years. The great men, as they many of them have been called. I want to hear from the preacher. I want to hear what Jesus thinks, what Jesus has to say. He said, well, how is that possible? It's possible. We got a Holy Spirit of God that lives in us that can preach Brother Anthony if he's yielded. He can put words in his mouth. Every man that's ever preached before, he knows what it's like to be opening up the Bible and God teaching him as he's preaching, and things come out their mouths that they had not even planned to say because God was preaching through them. And that's what we need today. We need Holy Spirit preaching. We need the Spirit of God to move upon all of us as believers and teach us the Word of God. So that when we're a witness to somebody, we're not out there telling them what we think. We're yielding. The Holy Spirit of God is using us to be a witness. And they get to hear what Jesus has to say instead of what Dave Leslie has to say or Paul Lee has to say or Jim Sides has to say or Brother Ryan or anybody else in this room or in this church. They need to hear. Thus saith the Lord. We hear that time and time and time in the Scriptures. Now here's the problem that I've had in my life over the years. I used to believe certain things, and then later I found out what I believed wasn't right. I used to hear preachers preach certain things, and over a period of time I began to realize some of that stuff wasn't correct. And a lot of it has to do with what Brother Joe has taught us over and over and over again. You can't take and make a casserole out of this book. You can't pull up scripture here and scripture there and stir it into a thing and bake it and you come out and get what you ought to have. You are not getting, as the preacher talked about, a pure Word of God. You've twisted it. That's the reason why we got verses like rightly dividing the word of truth. It's necessary. Absolutely necessary. You can't just pull out and pick and choose what you want. I mean, I'm not saying I got it figured out. I don't. But I'm wanting God to teach me. When I speak to somebody about Christ, my desire is that I'm not giving to them my philosophy. We all got a philosophy. You know, and the Bible said, beware of philosophy. That goes back to that verse, lean not to your own understanding. It's also important that in the Scripture, and there's a lot of people, like I said, I know people and they know verses. They've memorized Scripture. You got Jehovah's Witnesses, they memorize a lot of Scripture. You got Pentecostals, they memorize a lot of Scriptures. And they can quote, you've raised in a Pentecost, they can quote a lot of Bible to you. They can take you to a lot of Scripture that they base their doctrine on. But if it's not rightly divided, guess what? It's not truth. It's truth in its right place. But you can take and twist those Scriptures to the point that what you are teaching and saying is not true. So we start off looking at right division. What we need to do, we need to hear God and let God teach us and let God speak to our hearts. And because, and we sometimes it means letting Him do some hard things, like do some surgery and cut out some things in our lives. I've heard this said time and time again. I've heard old fella, he was a carpenter, and he said, man, I've been doing it this way for 20-some years. And the fella asked him, did you ever think for 20-some years you've been doing it wrong? That there might be a better way? You might get better results? We got to be teaching. We got to let God show us. We gotta let the Word of God. I mean, I haven't arrived, and nobody in this room has. I don't care how old you are in the Spirit. I don't care how close you think you are walking with God. Don't mean that mean, or and I certainly don't mean it in a way that said I know anything. I'm simply saying we need to realize we need to be talking today, in the morning, in the next. And every time we open up this book, we need to be letting God teach us. We need to be letting that book work in our lives, changing us, making us better. We might as well just read that. If that book is not working in our lives, there ain't no need to read it. But here's the point. I believe this with all my heart. It's going to work. It has the power. If you'll pick it up and read it and study it, it might not work as much in some people because they're not really yielding it. They're fighting it. But it's still working. Because God's Word will not return void. It will accomplish what He pleased. And take our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. We already threw out some of these verses, but we're gonna start looking at iniquity, and I'm tending to start seeing that this is where iniquity or sins or disobedience or anything that is anti-God where it starts. 2 Timothy 2:15. To study to show thyself approved unto God, like Paul said, it ain't what Paul thinks, it's what God thinks. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. That's what part of their number. This was part, you know what I'm saying? This was part of our number, their number. Paul had already warned them that there would be grievous wolves that would come into the flock. They would not spare the flock. They would call people after their own understanding. What they'll do, they'll establish their own doctrines and start teaching their own mind. I think the best of preachers can do that. I think the best of Christians can do that. because he said, of you. The warning is that it's all of us. We can, if we're not careful, we'll start leaning to our own understanding. And next thing you know, we're teaching things that we should not teach. We're saying things that we should not say. We're taking the Word of God and we're trying to make it say something it really does not say. And we need to be aware of that. And he said, what would happen? He said, it would eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. You ever erred? You ever made mistakes in your understanding or your interpretation of the Word of God? Have you ever read something and thought it meant one thing, and then later you found out that's not what it meant at all? And maybe even said, boy, you might go share it. Say, boy, I tell you what, God showed me something out of the Word of God. You know, you share it, and then a little bit later, God says, that ain't what that meant at all. And you get light on the subject. The Bible said it's a necessity that there be heresies among you. That's in the Scripture. It is a necessity that there be heresies among you. Why is that? Because we got people getting saved, and they're on all different levels in their walk with God. They got what people think. Everybody's got philosophies. And they got what they think about the Word of God. It doesn't mean that they understand. They have knowledge, but knowledge without understanding is very dangerous. They know some things, but what they know, they don't have understanding of. I've told people all this a lot of times. I said, I know enough about martial arts to get myself killed. I know enough about sometimes about computers to get myself into serious trouble on a computer. I know a few things, but I do not understand how it works. I get myself in trouble. I say, hey, I'm going to look for somebody to give me instruction, give me understanding of what I'm doing is wrong. It says right here that this false doctrine, false teaching, would eat as a canker, and who concerning the truth have erred, that the resurrection is past already, overthrow the faith of some. So what they were teaching, if you're not careful, what you say, if you don't say it in the right way and in the light of God's Word, it can overthrow people's faith. Here's one. God's going to take care of you. I've never seen, God's people forsaken or His children beg bread. You go preach that in some country. See how that goes over. Don't worry. God's going to work it out. He's going to take care of it. I trust God. I don't necessarily believe everything's going to work out the way I would like for it to work out. Or that I'm going to live a comfortable life. And things are not going to sometimes get to the point where, hey, God, I can't do this. I can't handle it. As our preachers have many a time, we take that word of God and say, God won't lay more on you than you can bear. That ain't what it says. He said He'll make a way of escape. You know? He said He'll put no temptation or trial upon you that He won't give you a way of escape. The way you escape sometimes is just to simply say, God, I cannot do this. You're going to have to help me and give me the strength for what I'm under, because if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. You watch somebody take and rip your family away from you, as they do Christians in foreign fields, and you don't know what in the world is going to happen to them. They won't do business with you. They starve you to death. And then they won't even let you leave the country. You know? If you go try to leave the country, a lot will get you killed. Those kind of teachings won't fly there. So what is the truth? If they get Is it because they're bad? They're not really Christians? But if you go teach that, and I know this happens in China, there are a lot of preachers that are saying, don't worry, don't worry. You know, God's going to take care of you. And then, buddy, and I know that it's happened. They come into churches, and boy, and drug people out there, and you say, deny Christ or we'll cut off your head. And if you won't do it, whack! They start chopping off your children's head, your head. What you going to say? Were they forsaken? No, they weren't forsaken. A lot of those people knew what it was to go hungry, starve, be in peril of their lives, constantly. The reason why I say that, I've told my children this all their lives. Don't think the time might not come here where that kind of persecution will be upon us. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Hey, Brother Jim, who's involved in politics, who would have thought 40 years ago we'd be in the shape we're in today. So we got to be careful in that what we're teaching, and that's the importance of not teaching error. That we need to teach the Word of God in truth. Because they're teaching something, and it's overthrowing the faith of some. If any, let's read on. He says, and everyone that nameth and knows this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I think that's important because what you're seeing right up here, we're talking about false teaching. And false teaching leads to iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and to earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So the importance of being purged from false doctrine is purging yourself from iniquity, will purge you from bad living. Look also, Let's turn to the book of, Let's look down here in verses 15, 2 Timothy. I'm actually back up to 14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, that hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, again, that word right there gets a lot of people in trouble. That word perfect. And John, I'm trying to think. Might not be John. Yeah. No. It's Paul. Paul says to many of us that are perfect. And then he goes on to say that we're not perfect, but we're waiting for that new body. So we're not complete yet, but we're complete in Him. Is that not so? We are perfect in Christ Jesus. But nobody in here would claim to be perfect, right? Because you got sin in your memory. So we're not perfect, but we are perfect. We're perfect in Him, but in this flesh, we're not perfect. But he says right here that the man of God might be perfect. Throughly furnished unto all good works. And you look at that word throughly right there. That's how we're perfect. Because it's through Christ Jesus. It's that new man. It's Christ in you that makes us perfect. And it's very important that we understand, hey, we're not perfect in ourselves. Hey, we don't have perfect understanding of the Word of God. And the only way that we're able to take this Word of God, and the only way it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, is righteousness, that it's got to be through Christ Jesus. Throughly furnished unto all good works. Now the Word of God is quick, is powerful, is able to change anybody. And we need to take the Word of God and give it out liberally. Hey, we don't need to be worried about giving out the Word of God. We just got to worry about how we give out the Word of God. We got to make sure that we're rightly dividing it. And we give people, if we give people instruction, people have got questions, hey, we need to know that we know that what we're saying is true. That we do not overthrow the faith of some, as these scriptures said. In the book of Revelations, in 2, again reading in verse 2, verses chapter 2, in verses 15, it says, excuse me, I'm sorry, verses 9, God said, I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. It's important. It was important for them to know the truth, that they were going to suffer. It's important that we let people understand that in this life, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Bible said, Jesus said plainly, in this world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, well, I've overcome the world. We like a feel-good Christianity, and that's what we want to tell people. We want to tell everybody everything is going to work out and be okay. But the truth is, we're in a war. We're in a war, and in this war, there are casualties, there are suffering, there's weights, there's trouble, but you can be of good cheer, for Christ has overcome the world. Hey, if in this life, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're all men most miserable. So if all you got to enjoy is what you have in this life, pretty miserable. If in this life all the Christians, you know, only thing that they got to enjoy is what we have in this life, we're of all men most miserable. If we're truly living a Christian life and letting Christ live in us. Because he said, in this day, he said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. All who live godly. Now, I'm not going to run myself out on a limb on this, but I understand what the scripture just said there. He said, if you are living godly, what's going to be in your life? Persecution. I know Jim knows a little bit of what it means to have somebody persecute him as far as what they say about him. But ain't nobody come to your house and drag you out yet, have they? Beat you up and say, here, say it again, we're gonna put this bullet in your head. We haven't had that. But it can come. I'm amazed at all the people that want guns nowadays. I growing up, hardly nobody had a pistol. Now everybody wants a pistol. Why? They're scared. They're scared of persecution. we're scared of people, religious people that hate us. And they don't want to go out and get a gun. My wife hated guns, and now all of a sudden she wanted a gun. You wanted me to take class. I said, I don't want a class. I don't want a handgun. I don't want to be a weapon of mass destruction. I want to be a 12K. I want to make sure I'm hitting. When I get two or three at a time, I'm kidding. But I'm simply saying that persecution is what's promised. And look at here. You can see this early church. They knew what it was like. And God had nothing bad to say about them. He encouraged them. Now you got another church over there. They're living fat. He said, you think you're rich and increased with goods. Church of Laodicea. There, right? We're still in the church age right here. 1, 2, and 3. We're in the church age. And he's warning these churches because of this mystery of iniquity. And you know what you find that this mystery of iniquity is? It's false teaching, lies, deceit, treachery, trickery. Where the devil knows if he can lie to you and get you to believe it, he'll come down the line, he'll lay a little bit of persecution on some people, and the next thing they say, what's to you? I remember in a moment, right after I got saved, my world started falling apart. A great light of affliction. You remember that in the scripture? That would come upon you when you first get saved? We're going to be tried. God's going to try. And I said, man, I'm ready to go back. I thought when you got saved, things got easy. No, it didn't. They got hard. But thank God, God had broke something in me I couldn't get away from. Because I was ready to go back. I was like Demas. And, having loved this present world, I thought they were going to kill me. I was ready to run back. Got this church over here, and what does he say? Be faithful. He didn't say until death. He said, be faithful unto death. I'd always looked at that before, like that really meant until. But and it does, but it means more than that. Because the Bible says, reckon yourselves the dead. Crucify yourselves daily. Die to self to be alive unto Christ. You know what he's saying there? Let me live in you. Let me be the preacher. Let me be the one that's given understanding. Let me be the one that's going to guide and direct. Let it be me. Be faithful unto death. I told you to take up your cross and follow me and die to yourself and live unto Christ. Be faithful unto death. They were being faithful. And what did he do? He encouraged them to be faithful. Continue to be faithful unto them. Die to yourself. He said, I'm going to give you a special crown. A crown of life. I don't know what that is exactly. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He said right here, now, they were being persecuted by a religious crowd too. Synagogue. A bunch of false Jews. They weren't real. They didn't love God. They were the synagogue of Satan. But the devil's got churches all over town, teaching all kinds of false doctrine. I'll never forget. I hadn't been saved real long. I was still in the Methodist church. And I worked with this boy. He was a Lutheran. And I was trying to talk to him about what it meant to be saved. He said, well, us Methodists and you Methodists and us Lutherans, we got a lot more in common. Them Baptists. I said, I've been to a Baptist church a few times. I've never been to a Baptist church. What are you talking about? He said, I knew right then he hated people that put his life under conviction. And if there was truth, I said, well, I got one thing to say. I said, there ain't but one church. And we all believe the same thing. Ain't that right? God's church, y'all believe the same thing. Christ died for us that we might have life. I said, I'm on their side. If they're for Christ, I'm for them. Look more in this. We get next time we meet. You read down there and you'll see these. Every one of these are problems that they were having in those churches. It was all because they were not rightly dividing the word of truth. And they were beginning to change, and the scripture was being twisted.